Welcome to the Jumpstart Your Instructional Design Career podcast. This podcast is dedicated to helping new and aspiring instructional designers get the knowledge, skills, and confidence to stand out in the field and land their first corporate instructional design job. I'm your host, Jill Davidian, and think of this podcast as a way to put my over 20 years of corporate ID experience in your back pocket. I've helped over 500 new instructional designers successfully transition into the field, and I know what hiring managers are looking for. Whether you're looking for a career change and exploring if instructional design is right for you, or you know you want to become an ID and have no idea how to get started, you are in the right place. Join me each week for actionable guidance as we explore how to build your portfolio, transform your resume, and interview with confidence. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. One of the questions I get asked all the time is, would I make a good instructional designer? It's one thing to learn about what IDs do, but it's another thing to know if it's right for you. This is a big transition and one that you can't take lightly. You want to know that if you do put time and effort into transitioning and leave the career that you've known for perhaps your entire adult life, that you've made the right decision. I totally get it. That's why I want to give you 8 things to think about when deciding if this is right for you and if you're even going to like it. So we're going to have future episodes on a day in the life of an ID and a lot of other topics so that you can get to know what IDs do a little bit more and also see if you'll enjoy the work. But for now, I want to focus on the characteristics that make a good instructional designer, which includes some of the things I hope you enjoy or are good at if you plan on transitioning into the field. All right, so let's get into it. So the first thing is that instructional designers have to be lifelong learners. This is non-negotiable. So as an instructional designer, you are a learning expert. You are not a content or a subject matter expert. That means that you're going to be on lots of projects over the course of your career with lots of different content topics, lots of different subject matter, different types of companies. Now, you could work for one company for the whole time, but you may be moving to a different company at some point, which is going to be very different than the first one. Or you may be doing contract work where you kind of bounce around to different companies. Even within the same company, you may be working on different projects. Some instructional designers work in a training department for a particular company where they do the training for that whole company. Meaning if the sales department needs training, they do it. If the customer service call center needs training, the instructional designers create it. If there's HR leadership training, the instructional designers create it. If there's a new system, instructional designers create it. So even if you are at the same company and you're not moving to another one, it's possible that you may be creating training for different subject matter areas. Now, that's not to say that that's always going to be the case. There are some instructional designers that focus into specific areas, like it could be just sales or just IT for systems training or just HR and focus more on leadership. So if you really don't want to be all over the place, you definitely can do a little bit more of a focus. But just know that even within the same overall area, you're going to have different projects with different topics that you're covering. And so I just want to make sure that you are definitely someone who likes to learn and really enjoys getting to become familiar with lots of different things. Now, we only learn enough to be dangerous. So we don't learn everything that we need to know in order to do the job. We can't really do the job, but we are able to learn enough that we can translate the expertise of the subject matter expert into training that is going to be engaging and effective and help the learners to actually change their behavior at the end of it, right? So that lifelong learning aspect, because we are in a learning field, it's super important. Also, lots of things change with regards to the instructional design space because there's technology that will change at some point in terms of how we develop our training. There's always new things out there to learn. And so you really can't be in a learning and development field without being a lifelong learner. Now, the second one is that instructional designers are problem solvers. So that means we're kind of like, we're trying to figure out the mystery behind why people are sometimes not performing the top of their game where they should be. And sometimes it's not a mystery, but we're trying to fill a gap, or there's always some type of a problem going on when it comes to developing training, because If there was no problem, why do we need training? If everybody's performing the way they should, everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing, they know how to use the system, they know how to do their job, training isn't needed. But we all know that training is everywhere. Every organization trains people in some form because it is needed. You might have new employees, you might have system changes, you might have policy and procedure changes, you might have people who are not performing the way that they should. There's some gap that needs to be filled. And so that's what we do during that analysis phase. And we talked about that in the episode on how instructional design is like building a house, where we do this analysis and we look at the current state, what is happening right now, and what is the future state that they would like to see, they being the stakeholders or whoever commissioned this training project. What do they want to see? What do they want to be different? What do they want people to be doing that they're not doing right now? And it's our job as instructional designers to identify that gap. Like I said, sometimes the gap is very clear, sometimes it's not. But either way, we are solving a problem. That leads to the next one, which is that instructional designers are naturally curious and like to ask questions. How do you solve a problem if you're not asking any questions? So if you're one of those kind of people that gets a project from your supervisor and starts to work on it on your own and you just never ask any questions, even though you have them, but maybe you're scared to ask questions or you're not sure, or you just keep on moving as if you know, hoping that whatever you're doing is correct, that is probably not going to make a really good instructional designer. You want to be someone who is naturally curious. Now, I understand in the very beginning, you might be scared to ask questions because you're not really sure what you're supposed to know. And what is a good question? Like, what are you not supposed to know where, you know, you're naturally supposed to ask? Because again, we don't know the subject matter. We don't even necessarily know maybe everything about the company if we're doing contract work, say, and this is a new company we've never worked with. So there's definitely questions that we're going to have to ask, but sometimes we're like, am I supposed to know this already? Or is this a good question that any instructional designer would have to ask in this situation? So I completely get that in the beginning, you might be a little unsure. But if you're just a person who just never really is curious, never wants to know more, never wants to dig a little bit beyond the surface or ask questions or kind of find out, I think this is going to be a bit difficult for you because we really can't do things in a vacuum. We have to be able to collaborate with that subject matter expert and be able to ask questions and bounce ideas back and forth and all those kinds of things. So the next thing is that instructional designers need to love helping people. That's what we're doing, is we're really helping to change lives through the training that we're developing, depending on who it's for and what organization it's for. It really depends on what level we're doing that. But there's a lot of really cool things that can be done through instructional design and through training development. You could be developing training for organizations around safety to make sure that people aren't getting hurt or, God forbid, losing their lives on the job. You could be developing training for, you know, lots of different things where it really, really makes a difference that people are utilizing the training that you're developing. And so in many ways, we're really helping people to not only do their job to the fullest, but it really could be saving lives as well. And so I think that's an important thing in this field, is that you really do enjoy helping people. The next one is that instructional designers really do have to have some basic tech skills. And what do I mean by that? I mean, be able to use PowerPoint or Google Slides. I know we have a lot of teachers that are going to be listening to this podcast that use Google Slides, and that counts as well. If you struggle to create a Google Slide or create a Google Slide deck or a PowerPoint deck, now that doesn't mean it has to be the fanciest, most interesting, and coolest PowerPoint deck ever created. Does not mean that. But if you struggle to create a PowerPoint deck that has some important points on it, some graphics, and, you know, just, you know, looks fairly decent, if you struggle with that from a tech perspective, you are going to struggle in instructional design. There are certain software tools that we use. The one that is used most often in the field, called Articulate Storyline, is a PowerPoint base. So when you open it, it actually looks like PowerPoint, but has a lot of advanced functionality. No coding, you don't have to be a programmer, nothing like that, but you do have to have some tech skills just on a basic level. So I have found that people that are not even able to use PowerPoint very well do tend to struggle. That doesn't mean that you can't do this. It just means I would work on getting your PowerPoint skills up to speed or your Google Slide skills up to speed before you jump into this. The next one is that instructional designers need to be decent writers. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be writing award-winning novels. That is not the goal here. We're not writing essays. We're not writing books. But we do a fair amount of writing and storyboards in the design phase and even on the screen as well. And it's not so much that we're writing long drawn out essays or long drawn out paragraphs. In fact, it's quite the opposite. We need to really know how to summarize or, you know, really cut down text to where we're really getting to the point quickly in the shortest amount of text in many cases. And so I think it takes a fairly decent writer to be able to not draw out the writing, but actually be able to be succinct and to the point. And so that's a good skill to have. And also a fairly decent command of grammar. It does not mean you need to be the grammar police, but just be able to have a fairly decent command of what goes where and all of those kinds of things with regards to grammar. The next one is that instructional designers need to have a bit of thick skin to be able to receive feedback with a smile and not take it personal. I will tell you, you are going to receive a ton of feedback in this field. I have had e-learning courses that I have developed where I have sent them off to my subject matter expert or to my stakeholder, to someone who is going to review them on the client side, and gotten back 200 comments on one maybe 45-minute course. That is not uncommon. 200 might be stretching it a little bit, but it is not uncommon to get at least over 100 comments. Very, very common. Now, a lot of these comments may not be anything that you did. Sometimes people see things on a screen and decide they want to change it. And we will have a future episode specifically on feedback within this field, because you are creating deliverables, which, if you recall, that's like some kind of document or file or something that you are creating that you're giving back to the client or the stakeholder for them to review. You do that several times during the instructional design process. If you missed the episode on how the instructional design process is like building a house, you'll definitely want to go back and listen to it, because we talk about the different deliverables that you will have to produce and then give back to your client to get feedback on throughout the process. It's happened several times. It's not just one. So like I said, they might be giving you comments on something you did, but they could also have changed their mind. And that might be a comment. But sometimes people just look at all the comments and they're like, oh my goodness, I failed. I did this totally wrong. And take it very, very personal. And you cannot take it personal. Feedback is so important in this field. And one of the really important things, and this is actually another one I didn't have in here, but I just thought about, is that instructional designers need to really have a core value, a personal value within themselves of continuous improvement, always improving, always working to get better. All of these things are true of lifelong learners. But that feedback that you're getting is just meant to make you better or make the course better. It's not personal. So that one is huge. The last one is that instructional designers need to be okay and enjoy working with people in teams. You're going to be working with subject matter experts. You're going to be working with other instructional designers, but also okay with doing independent work. So a lot of times I get questions about how much of this work is independent, how much of this work is in a team. And really the answer is it varies. Every company does it differently. Every project is done differently. But for every project that I've ever been on, it's definitely a combination of both. There is a fair amount of independent work, and you have to be okay with working on your own, asking questions when you need them, because you're not always going to have somebody looking over your shoulder and, you know, there to help you with something. You're going to have to ask because they might not know that you need help. So that's important. But at the same time, you will have a few meetings each week. You will be talking to your subject matter expert. You're not doing this in a vacuum. And it's not like you're just coding in a corner, not talking to anyone, just kind of cowering over there working on your computer. It is not like that at all. You are going to have interaction with other people, but especially if you're working remotely, there is a fair amount we're going to be doing on your own. And you might have to kind of seek out some of those interactions again by asking questions and things like that to get what you need, but there definitely is some team time as well. So it's really a mix of both. Now, notice I did not say that instructional designers have to be creative. This comes up all the time. It's probably one of the biggest fears that I hear from aspiring instructional designers. Maybe it's a fear that you have had. I assure you that you can do just fine in this field without being creative. I'm a perfect example. I'm left-brained and love numbers and logic. My father was an accountant and I have his brain. I used to do bank reconciliations and tax returns for his clients as a teenager. A lot of people really dread doing their tax returns, right? I love that kind of thing because my brain works that way. So if I can be successful in this career, I promise you can too. There are lots of resources out there where you can learn to develop your creative muscle. Often, creativity in instructional design is really about telling a compelling story to engage the learner, and even that can be learned. I will link a resource for that in the show notes. A lot of times it's just looking through lots of different courses that other people have developed. You might see interactions and ways that they have put content together, and you're going to do it in your own way. Your audience is different. Your content is different. Even your branding colors are going to be different. You're not going to do the exact same thing that they're doing, but you're going to get ideas. And so that's another way that you develop your creative muscle. And I'm going to link in the show notes a link to e-learning courses and portfolios that have been designed and developed by people who have transitioned into instructional design fairly recently. So it's not somebody who's been in the field for 10 plus years. You can take a look through those and start getting some ideas for yourself. Now, this is kind of related, but you don't have to be an expert in visual design either. So if you think about, oh my goodness, I have to develop this really cool looking thing on the slide and, you know, can't be boring. That's true, but that can also be learned. Trust me, I had to learn it. It didn't come natural to me. Give me a spreadsheet, I'm good, but a blank canvas, like blank with nothing on it? Oh no. But I promise it did get easier. Same thing here. You've got to look at lots of examples of what others have done because it's going to help you to plan out your own. Obviously, you're not copying anyone. You're just getting some inspiration. And the more you do it, the more inspiration is going to live in your head. And you're not going to constantly have to look at new examples all the time. I also have an amazing book for visual design as well, and I will link that in the show notes. So I hope this episode gave you something to think about as you embark on this new chapter of your life. Like I said, don't forget to check the show notes and other resources on my website. All are linked in the episode description. Hit that subscribe button as well so you're notified every week when I release a new episode. Until next time. Thank you for tuning in to the Jumpstart Your Instructional Design Career podcast. I hope you've gained valuable insights that will help you on your instructional design journey. Are you interested in going deeper and getting the roadmap to an instructional design career? I have a free 5-day workshop coming up on January 16th through 20th, 2023, where you will be live with me for an hour a day. I will help you identify the skills that you bring to the table, clarify your gaps, and get the direction you need to stand out to hiring managers to get that first ID job or contract. The link to register is in the show notes on our website at learningstrategyanddesign.com/podcast. And that's not all. To kick off the launch of this podcast, we are doing a giveaway with some big prizes. Enter to win a 1-year license to Articulate 360, which is an $1,100 value. I'm also giving away a one-on-one coaching session with me and 3 instructional design book bundles. To enter the giveaway and get more details, go to learningstrategyanddesign.com/giveaway. You can also check the description and the show notes for more information. No purchase is required. If you love the show and want to hear more, follow the podcast and give me a rating and review. Stay tuned next week as I bring you more tips, tools, and strategies to jumpstart your instructional design career.